heat, and there'll still be some patchy fog to develop through the nighttime hours. Then tomorrow... patchy fog again tomorrow, and also the chance of showers. Tomorrow night, southerly winds, 5 to 10 knots, waves
now,
a foot or less.
Now, live and local, a sports exclusive from AM 1540 WADK, FM 101.1, WADK.com, and Corrigan Financial. It's Aquidneck Island Football, brought to you by O'Brien's Pub, Newport Propane, Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, A1 Roofing and Construction, Clements Marketplace, Midtown Oyster Bar and the Surf Club, R&R Construction of Newport, West Main Pizza, Salve Regina University, and by Corrigan Financial. Now, here's Bob Angel.
All right, hi there. Let's turn us up here so people can listen to me. I want to make sure we're on the air so Gianfranco can talk in my ear and tell me that we're okay. Okay. Welcome, everybody. It's a Friday night for high school football. We're right back here at Topa Field in Newport, where we were last night to watch Salve Regina win very convincingly. And we'll see how it turns out tonight with the rivalry between Rogers and Middletown. It may be non-league, but that doesn't matter. It's Rogers and Middletown. Jim Ascoli back with me and taking good care of us will be our new rookie board operator, Gianfranco. And he'll take good care of us, I know. And let's see what we have for you. We have Rogers with the home black uniforms with the white numerals. We'll read those numbers, okay?
I'm telling you, it's almost like they know what they're doing here. And then you got Middletown with the white jerseys and the blue numerals. We mentioned this because last night, doing the Salve game, it was nearly impossible to read numbers because they have gray jerseys with kind of grayish blue numbers that just blend straight in. So the only thing I noticed about tonight is all the skilled players for both teams have single digits, which is always a little bit difficult, but we'll be fine.
We'll work our way through it. Let's tell you a little bit about this Rogers team first. Led by head coach John Horseman in his second year, the successor to Frank Newsom. John, the former head coach at North Kingstown, also in his career, an assistant coach at Salve. And he was 1 year at Rogers as an assistant before he took over as the head coach. He's helped out by Colin Greenman, Rich Cavanaugh, Walter Christensen, John Hano, Billy Labiger, and Kayvon Lockhart. The captains are Chris Connerton, Brady Toner, Travis Burrows, and Neil Porter. The strength of this Rogers team is running, as they've got quite some talented backs on this squad, and a lot of them are experienced and back from last year. They learned a new system last year, and here comes year number two with it, and John Horseman is feeling confident things will improve. And you want to reel off some of these names that we'll be talking about?
Yeah, sure will. The quarterback is Cisco Aponte. He's a good runner, as they all are in that backfield. He's hard to bring down. He's elusive. And he's joined in that backfield by Travis Burrows, Alex Toribio, Nixon Brownell, J.C. Michelle, and Chris Connerton. It is a good crop of backs. They will run. They will run often. When they throw, they'll throw to guys like Connor Mullins at the wideout, Santi Garduno, Miles Ventura, who also happens to be the backup quarterback, and their tight end is Neil Porter. So it is a good offense, but it is predicated on the run. It's a run-first kind of a thing. Defensively, nose tackle Brady Toner, inside linebacker Neil Porter, and outside linebacker Nixon Brownell will take care of much of what needs to be done there.
John Horseman needs his team to get better on ball security. They struggled with it last season. They also need to have a little bit better pursuit on defense. And right now he says, my defensive line is working hard. His defense is going to have to deal with Middletown, going to try to contain their speed. They've got a great passing game you have to worry about. You got to try to eliminate the big play. And they have guys like Julian Gilman to worry about, R.J. Wiggins on the receiving end. And it will be quite the challenge defensively. The Islanders of Middletown, led by their head coach Matt Kessler in his fourth year. He was a former assistant at Middletown with Art Bell. He was a head coach at Portsmouth for a year, assistant coach at Salve Regina. Mr. Kessler's been around the island doing that coaching thing. Last year, his team was 9-2. They would lose in the Super Bowl to Moses Brown, 13-7. They were at the Moses Brown 15 with a minute to go and got intercepted and came up with the tough loss. Their captains are Trent Ames, R.J. Wiggins, Julian De La Cruz, and Caleb Florendo. The strength, says Matt Kessler, is the offense. Last year's team is almost intact from last year. The defense was senior-laden. A lot of losses on the defense. The offense is practically duplicate of last year. A key injury is Caleb Florendo. This is a big loss. He's a linebacker. He's an offensive lineman. He suffered a broken hand in the injury fund game at Barrington this year. He'll be out about two or three more weeks and is described by Matt Kessler as a big loss and the best defender. We'll talk about some names, maybe, about some of the Islanders that we'll talk about.
Yeah, the quarterback, and this is someone who's getting a lot of press lately, Julian De La Cruz. He's a third-year starter, excellent passer, and he can also run if necessary. When he throws, he'll throw to R.J. Wiggins, one of the state's best receivers. You can expect him to be double-teamed for most of the night. When they run in the backfield is Trent Ames, Julian Gilman, Cam Miller is the speed back, Isaac Mello, and other receivers. Cam Miller out of the slot, Pat Cranson, Jordan Cruz, who's a transfer from Rogers, by the way, and tight end Jack Belcher, and also tight end Andrew Souza. Defensively, they have linebackers Trent Ames, Andrew Souza, Isaac Mello, and the linebacker cornerback Pat Cranson, cornerback Cam Miller. There's some newcomers. About a freshman defensive tackle in Ty Butler. Mike Mora, the transfer from Brazil, rugby player, very strong. Hey, to be a rugby player, you almost have to be. Jordan Cruz, the defensive end.
He'll be out there.
Yeah, he'll be out there as well.
Chasing the tight end around.
He sure will. So defense is not a strong suit, but they're working it.
Rogers won the toss. They declined, so Middletown will have the opening possession. Rogers will be defending to our right. And again, it's the Islanders in the road whites. Shirts, pants, helmets, blue numbers and trim. Vikings in their black home uniforms, shirts and pants, and also the black helmets, white numerals, red trim. Rogers here on the near sideline, Middletown across the way. We have the Rogers ROTC unit here. Looks like they're getting ready to march out on the field to prepare for the opening ceremony here. And we expect this could be quite the game. A young defense for this Middletown team. As we said, their almost entire defensive line has graduated, and they're going to depend a lot on the offense to score some points.
And, of course, the loss of Florendo is huge.
It really is.
He was like a coach on the field, really.
He's on the sidelines but unable to play. But just about set to go. And let's pick this up, the national anthem being played right now. Thank you. All righty then.
It's going to take a minute to get the orchestra off the field, but we're just about ready.
Yes. We are. Most people are expecting this to be a pretty competitive game. It would be a surprise if it came out differently. So we'll see how it unfolds before our very eyes and before your very ears. Had a nice visit from our friend Mr. Barrett, who is going to be one of our backups this season, if necessary, in the booth, with his son Jack and his daughter Harper, who is quite the actress, by the way.
There you go. Notice a nice little student contingent from Middletown. At least it appears that way. I can't tell if they're all from Middletown, but it appears that way.
All right. Nixon Brownell is going to be the kickoff man for the Vikings. He's right in front of us down there on the field at the 40. And we have usually a three-man crew for Middletown back deep. And that would be Cam Miller, Julian Gilman, and Trent Ames. With Cam in the middle, he's the speed back. So we are ready to go at Topa Field in Newport, live on 101.1 WADK FM along with WADK.com. The kick, short, end over end, taken by an up back, goes right down on the 35-yard line, does not even try to run it back.
Well, when you're not, you know, when that's not your job, when you're not supposed to be the run back guy, sometimes guys like that will try to do too much. He probably did the right thing. Caught it, made sure he had it, sat down at the 35-yard line. Middletown with pretty good field position to open this one.
And led by their third-year starter, Julian De La Cruz.
Well, it's true, though. You look at this offensive sheet here that I've got in front of me, and I just recognize everybody. They are all back, pretty much, from last year's team that went to a Super Bowl. So, obviously, hopes are high.
Pat Cranston is split out wide to the right side, double wides to the left. And from the shotgun, it's a handoff off tackle left side. And Julian Gilman gets almost 10 yards on the first carry.
Yeah, he sure did. He may have gotten all of 10. See where they put the ball down. But they are moving the chains. He's right at the 45. Pickup of 10 and a first down.
Travis Burrows from the secondary had to make the stop. Man in motion goes off, and some movement on the front line by the Vikings will push up 5 yards in Middletown's favor. Jumping offside and getting a little too anxious.
Well, that'll get him to the 50-yard line right quick. A 10-yard pickup and a 5-yard penalty, so Middletown in business right away.
All righty. First and five. Left to right go the Islanders, all in white. De La Cruz puts that man in motion. Cam Miller. But it will be a handoff straight ahead. Then angling off to the left side and driving his way forward. What a great run that time. Who is that? I could wait for him to unpile. Is that Julian again? Julian Gilman.
Picked up 9 more yards and a first down.
Following the block of T.J. Bizzard to the 41 of Rogers. Quick pass. And Cam Miller gets knocked off his feet but falls forward to almost the 35 of Rogers and an already impressive opening drive for Middletown.
Yeah, picked up 5 quick yards that time.
So let's see what the Islanders have in mind here as they're marching right down the field. Out wide, R.J. Wiggins, got to know where he is. He's wide to the left side.
Single coverage on him, too.
Miller goes in motion to that side, but the handoff goes straight ahead. And piling his way forward for the Vikings is Trent Ames.
Well, I'll tell you, Middletown's offensive line is opening some holes.
Down to the 29-yard line and a first down.
Picked up of 7 more. That's 3 first downs.
Coming in to help that Rogers defense right now is Alex Toribio, working his way back from an injury. Again, Wiggins goes wide to that left side. Now we have a trips formation to the right for Middletown. single setback next to DiLorenzo and Middletown moves before the snap.
Yep, the someone just sort of stood up before they were supposed to, and you cannot do that on the offensive line.
Back to the 34-yard line, where it becomes first and 15 for Middletown.
Well, they've had good success on the ground thus far with first and 15. Let's see if they stay on the ground.
Julian De La Cruz in the shotgun. He's a really good passer. He's got the trips to the right side. The snap.
Again, another movement in the front line. Yeah, it's a false start. So now we're looking at first and 20, back to the 39.
Back to back. Slowing down the momentum here.
Yeah, things were going pretty swimmingly for the Islanders, but all of a sudden, two penalties in a row without a snap, and now it's first and 20.
Richard Morissette is the referee. Brian Morissette is the umpire. Joe Freitas, the linesman. Rick Souza, field judge. Matt Cabral, back judge. And up here, operating the clock, Paula Morissette. Now the trips are over on the left side. Single wide right on a long down situation. Crossing pattern is caught. A pinpoint pass to Pat Cranson inside the 30-yard line. Set up wide on the right. Headed right for the middle. And Mr. DiLorenzo nailed it.
De La Cruz.
I'm making up my own names as I go along.
Pat Cranson with the catch picks up 11 yards on it. And it'll now be second and 9.
Well, they're at the 28. They got to get to the 19 on second down. They're on the near side hash mark, closest to us. And it'll be a handoff.
Right, oh, what
up
a
the
hole.
Middle. Huge hole. And nearly a first down for Trent Ames.
Oh, my goodness. They are just opening holes that just anyone can run through. And when you're as good as Trent Ames, you get 8 yards.
So it'll be third down and 2 from the Rogers 21-yard line. Boy, they made up that long distance thing in a hurry here. R.J. Wiggins, again, wide to the left side. They'll put Cam Miller in the slot to that side. And over here, Pat Cranson wide on the right. Miller comes in motion to the right. And it goes straight ahead, but not enough for a first down. That time, the Rogers line was ready and stopped Trent Ames a yard shy of a first down.
Well, it's going to be fourth and 1. And probably more like that was more like no game.
No game.
I think it's going to be fourth and 2, and I think they will go. So, certainly no reason not to. They're on the 21-yard line of Rogers. They obviously don't have a 38, 39-yard field goal kicker, so they're not punting from here.
Well, he doesn't run often, but Julian De La Cruz is pretty good at it if he has to be. All right, slot formation, left side. Cam Miller's the slot back. And the snap, and it's straight ahead again.
No way.
And there's nowhere that Trent Ames has to go. He was stopped right at the line of scrimmage. Some great defensive work going on over there by Jackson Nagel and company.
Well, Middletown had a nice little head of steam going, but handed to the Rogers defense, who stopped them on fourth and 2. Actually, he lost a yard on that play. So Rogers will take over at their own 22-yard line.
There you go. Right to left go the Vikings with their first possession. Led by their seasoned quarterback, Cisco Aponte, who's under center. And the handoff comes over
Whistles.
Here, up the middle.
Whistles are blowing, though.
Oh, okay. Looks like it might go against the Vikings here. No, it's an offside against Middletown.
Somebody must have lined up in the neutral zone because...
encroachment there.
Yeah. So Middletown now is making the mistakes... both offensively and defensively, and that is not going to play well.
Ball now resting on the 27-yard line, first and 5 for the Vikings. No score, opening quarter, out midway through. And this time it'll be a handoff straight ahead.
Uh-oh.
And a big opening and trying to break free on the run.
It's Alex Toribio.
Alex Toribio finally caught from behind by Pat Franson. And a big time game for Alex Toribio coming back from an injury.
Well, they, Middletown said that they were struggling a bit on defense. And right then it was a hole off left tackle. And after that, it was nothing but wide open spaces. So they go from the 27 down to the 22. 51-yard pickup.
Pardon me, Bob, put the mic back on. Actually, they're inside the 20 at the 17.
Oh, I take it back. Make that a... I'll get you in a second. Yeah.
First and 10 for the Vikings. Alex Toribio broke free. And he gets it again. Tries the right side. It's knocked off his feet inside the 15.
That was a 56-yard pickup by Toribio.
Alex has got strength. He's in there at 5'11", 195. Coming back from an ankle injury, he's a junior. Second down and about seven now for Rogers inside the 15 of Middletown. Right to left they go here in the first quarter. 5.5 minutes left. And it is Aponte handing it off, trying the left side. Got some room over here. And that looks like Travis Burrows. That's number two. And it is. Pat Cranston helped on the stop. So the ball now is inside the 10 at the 8-yard line. Third and one for the Vikings. Trying to make a statement here at the outset with their first possession.
And after a good defensive stand got them the ball, they have just taken it down the field right quick.
From the 8, third and 1. Aponte brings him out, and he gives it to a move over on the left side. It's Travis Burrows with a first down, and knocked down right before the goal line. Fake into the middle. Mr. Burrows goes left. And almost got in the end zone.
7-yard pickup down to the 1. Rogers knocking on the door to break this scoreless tie with 4.5 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
Front line for the Vikings getting it done.
They sure are. Both front lines looked good, but all of a sudden Rogers is just...
straight ahead. Does Aponte keep it? I believe he does. And he's in. So the Vikings get the first score of the night from 1 yard away.
Yeah, that was a 5-play, 78-yard drive. 56 of them picked up by Alex Toribio on the first play for Rogers from scrimmage. And that obviously set this whole thing up. Now they'll go for the extra point. It is 6-0 at the moment.
Nixon Brownell will attempt the extra point. Waiting to set it up. And now Rogers has to call a timeout because I don't think they had enough guys out there. So what we can do is take a quick 30-second timeout, and then we'll be back at Topa Field.
Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan. For 32 years, Corrigan Financial's been serving our community, helping families and businesses, much like a financial architect, establishing and designing a comprehensive framework that offers direction and support. This wealth of knowledge is personified through their professional staff and strengthened through continued investments in technology to power their processes and systems. With more than $1 billion of investment assets and 11 CPAs on staff, Corrigan Financial maximizes their clients' financial well-being by combining tax planning with investment strategy. So whether starting your career or just starting to look forward to your retirement, Corrigan Financial can help. Arrange a free consultation to discuss a financial planning process that leads to greater decision-making where clients can anticipate rather than react. Corrigan Financial, 32 years of helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
Here by Nixon Brownell. low snap. Can't get it over underway. It did go through. I thought it didn't happen there. It is a good extra point by Nixon, despite the low snap. And Rogers is up 7-0 with 4:16 to go in the opening quarter. And why don't we just recap that drive right now?
Yeah, it was quick. 5 plays, 78 yards. Cisco Aponte takes it in from the 1-yard line. But it was all set up on the first play from scrimmage as Alex Toribio ran 56 yards down to the 17-yard line of Middletown. So after Middletown moved the ball pretty well and got deep in Rogers' territory, they were stopped on 2 consecutive plays, a 3rd-and-2 and a 4th-and-2. Rogers took the ball over and marched it down. They now lead it 7-0. So this one is kind of off to the races quickly. But I'll tell you, after doing the college game last night, these quarters fly. 4:16 left to go in the first quarter. And Middletown will get the ball back next.
All right, the big play by the Vikings from Mr. Toribio. The kickoff from Mr. Brownell. Short end over end. And Middletown will get it inside their own 45-yard line. As picking the short pass and falling right away was Jack Belcher.
Now, there's something about not wanting to kick deep. I guess the Middletown kick returners are that dangerous, so they're kicking short every time.
So, again, good field position for starters here on the Islanders' behalf. And they'll start it right at the 43-yard line. They are their own 43. They are still going left to right. We look down from the press box here at Topa Field. Back to work. Go the Islanders with Julian De La Cruz in the shotgun. And the snap is a quick pass. It will find Cam Miller. Miller at the 50 is knocked off his feet and gets just into Rogers' territory.
He was one broken tackle away from picking up maybe another 5 or 10 yards, and he was a little frustrated that he was taken down, but still a pretty good first play in the series, pick up about 7.
I think it was Travis Burrows who got a hand on him to knock him off his feet. Just inside the 50-yard line in Rogers' territory are the Islanders, 2nd down and a little less than 3. They find themselves trailing early, 7-0. All right, we have a slot formation left and right. Cam Miller now goes in motion to the left, gets the pitch, going wide, turning the corner, and gets the first down to about the 45-yard line. Here's the front line for the Middletown offense. Griff Kleinecht is your center, 6'3", 250. Jackson Nagel, senior guard on the left. Tyler McVeigh, junior guard on the right. Tackles are Will Bizard, the right tackle, 5'10", 210, and TJ Bizard, 5'10", 200. First down, Middletown. Sends R.J. Wiggins wide to the left side. Slot on the right side. The snap, the handoff. This is going to be Gilman, and he's running it, breaking tackles down inside the 25-yard line. Julian Gilman. He's 5'6", but he's 185 pounds and not. Julian Gilman.
He was.
Yes, sir. Okay, don't know why. Thank you. Getting a little inside message from our board operator.
Well, it must have been a point of infraction foul because they marked off only 6 yards on the penalty, so it'll be
at the own the 49 of Middletown now.
Correct.
And a first down and long. Slot formation on the left side. The snap. The handoff, straight ahead, and it's Gilman trying to find some running room. He's slowed down, and he's brought down
as he gets close to the Rodgers 40-yard line.
Picked up almost 11 yards on the play, so a good gain on first and 16. It'll now be second and 5.
Travis Burrows coming in to help on the tackle.
Second down and 5.
The Islanders down 7-0 with less than 2 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Trying to fight their way back. They're on the Rodgers 40-yard line. Second down and 5. Wiggins again goes wide to the left side. We'll set up a slot over here on the right. And the slot back is Cam Miller. Single setback next to the quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. Rodgers defensive lineman was kind of skipping toward the line of scrimmage and just crossed it.
Might have been a nice cadence change right
there. Yeah, it might have been something because he just came right across the line of scrimmage like he didn't know where it was almost. But anyway, picked up 5 yards on the penalty, and it's very close to a first down, but they're saying it's a tiny bit short.
It's about the length of a football shy. Second down and inches for Middletown at the Rodgers 35. I tell you, Julian Gilman, Trent Ames, that's a dangerous duo right there in the running backs. From the shotgun, back to pass. Looking, throwing deep down the middle. Cam Miller can't run his pattern. No interference is called as it falls incomplete in the end zone.
Wow.
Cam crashed into the defender who was in front of him, but apparently not enough to create a foul.
Well, there was no, I mean, there was no hands, you know what I mean? He didn't have his hands on the receiver, but he tried to run his pattern, and the defender just sort of ducked his shoulder a little bit, and Cam couldn't move. He just kind of had to try to get around him, and they just sort of, you know, collided, and, well, Middletown's going to have third and inches.
Let's see if they call on Mr. Gilman to get those inches. He's the only setback alongside the quarterback, Julian De La Cruz. Slot formation left side. In the shotgun formation, De La Cruz does indeed give it to Gilman. He's got the first down and more. Driving his way forward inside the 30-yard line.
Yeah, picked up about 7. He only needed about 3 inches.
Alex Toribio leading the Rodgers charge defensively. Down to the 28 of Rodgers with 40 seconds left in the opening quarter.
4 carries, 37 yards for Gilman. That's about 9 yards a carry.
And now Jack Belcher will become the slot back on the left side with Wiggins out wide. Pat Cranston wide to the right. And here comes the charge by the Vikings, running outside the pressure. And the pass downfield, and it is knocked away. Great timing right there by the Vikings, and specifically J.C. Michelle. Got his hand up just in time to deflect a pass that was pretty much on the mark.
Yeah, that time De La Cruz was flushed out of the pocket. He had to throw on the run, but it was an accurate throw. But as you said, Michelle got there just in time to knock it away. Good play by Rodgers. Now with 11 seconds left to go in the first quarter, Middletown already trailing 7-0, has a second and 10.
All right, they'll spread the formation out with slots left and right. Single setback. In motion comes Cam Miller to the right. De La Cruz. Throws in the end zone, and it is picked off.
Yes, it is.
It is intercepted by the Vikings, and doing the honors is the Vikings' Miles Ventura.
Well, I'll tell you, that time he was trying to get it to, I believe, Wiggins, and there was just absolutely stride-for-stride coverage by Ventura, and he beat him to the ball, intercepted it in the end zone. It's going to come out to the 20. And right now, Middletown's offense, which is the more, you know, which is the vaunted part of their team, has really struggled on two possessions trying to get, you know, into the red zone.
Stopped on downs, now intercepted. Vikings leading 7-0 with 1 second to go in the quarter. We'll have it at their own 20-yard line.
And Cisco Aponte will bring him out and go under center. We had a whistle blow, but I think that was just the start play. So Aponte gets the snap, hands it off for a gain of a few yards right there. Is that Travis? Yep, Travis Burrows came sweeping around, going off tackle on the left side. And that will end the first quarter. It is Rogers 7, Middletown nothing. More coming your way after we take a 30-second timeout right here.
O'Brien's Pub, for good food, good friends, good times. Always the perfect place to find a menu accommodating all ages and appetites, plus never-ending fun. Sunday night bingo, trivia night Tuesdays, karaoke Wednesday nights, DJs Fridays and Saturdays. O'Brien's Pub, voted best neighborhood bar the past 2 years. 501 Thames, Newport. Check theobriensPub.net. Phone 849-6623. And on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Always easy parking.
And at the end of this broadcast tonight, Mr. Ascoli and I will be picking our players of the game. One for Middletown, one for Rogers, each to receive a gift certificate from the Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant in downtown Newport. The start of the second quarter. Rogers with the ball and the lead, 7-0.
It's going to be second down and 6 when we resume. They're at their own 24.
Well, most who are aware of this high school football scene locally expected this to be a pretty close battle. So right now, the pressure is on the Middletown defense.
Yeah, it's been pretty close if you look at the way the game's played on the field. But on the scoreboard, Rogers leads 7-0, and Middletown has stalled twice in Rogers territory.
And this time it's going to be a misdirection play right
another
up the middle.
Big gain.
And almost breaking free, but with a big gain is the Vikings' J.C. Michel.
Trent Ames on the tackle, but much too late.
Out to the 43-yard line.
Picked up 19 more, and they are just chewing it up on the ground.
They are getting some big chunks of yardage here against this Islander defense.
They already have 96 yards on the ground, and we just started the second quarter.
Middletown's defense is relatively young. First and 10. And Aponte will roll out to the right, looking on the run, throws at it, is caught. Tripped up right away is Alex Caridio for a short gain. Making the stop is, let's see, that's Andrew Souza for Rogers.
Picked up 4 yards on that pass play.
Second down and about 6. 47-yard line for the Vikings in their own territory. Early second period. Out wide to the left side for the Vikings is Connor Mullins. And here's a handoff on the right side for a short gain. And on the carry, it was Taribio. Slowed down and brought down at the 49-yard line, which will set up a 3rd and 4 for Rogers. Rogers, I'm sorry.
I was going to say Rogers really just dictating the pace on the ground.
All right, Aponte brings him out. Split backfield. And it goes off the left side, and a pitch wide goes to Travis Burrows, breaks one tackle, gets close to a first down near the 47 of Middletown.
I think he might be a half yard short, but I don't think they're going to mind going for it here. Oh, maybe he's more than that. He's about
a full yard short. At the 48, yeah. A 4th and 1 situation here, even though the sideline marker says it's first down. There we go. Now we got it in sync. So, Rogers looking for a yard to maintain this drive. They're at the 48 of Middletown, going left to right in their all-black uniforms. Again, split backfield, angled over on the right side. and will be misdirection. It goes to Burrows, and he's got a first down.
Didn't get it by much, but he sure did get it. So Rodgers will maintain possession.
Gets down to about the 46-yard line for a first down that keeps the drive alive. Up front for the Vikings at center is Nathan Threats. On the guard side, we've got Braden Toner and David Rivera. Tackles are Simi Louie and Jay McDowell.
Say, if you're in Middletown right now, knowing how good your offense can be this year, you've got to be concerned about this defense right now.
Aponte goes under center and will roll back, throw, and caught. Nope, Travis Burrows couldn't hang on to it. Dropped it at the 40. Good hard hit in there by the Islander defense. Getting in there was Dwayne Julius.
Pass was perfectly accurate, right on the money, but as he sort of turned to make the catch, he kind of got hit, and the ball squirted loose.
At the 46 of the Islanders, Vikings on the move, trying to extend their lead, which is now 7-0. And out wide over here on the right side is Miles Ventura. And Aponte rolls to the right, gets inside one block, and is going to be caught from behind and brought down by J.C. Michelle for a sack.
Yeah, it certainly was. A loss on the play of about a half a yard, but that qualifies as a sack.
Just inside the 47 now, as it is third down, and just about 10 yards to go. Vikings are on the near side hash mark, closer to us, as they set it up with single wideouts left and right. Aponte steps back, gets rushed out of the pocket, gets caught from behind and brought down for another loss. J.C. Michelle again, this time he got help. Trying to see who that was. Number 9. Okay, that would be Isaac Mello.
So it's going to be fourth down at about 11, and we may see our first punt of the night.
Pat Cranston's going back deep for Middletown by himself. Nixon Brownell is the punter, standing on his own 40. Pat's on his own 10-yard line.
Again, in a game like this, you need to be ready for everything, including a fake punt. I think they need another player. Does Rodgers?
And they get one.
There it is. Hello, fellas. Oops, sorry.
There's my first player of the night with a number I don't have. Meanwhile, Mr. Nixon Brownell awaits. It's a high snap, but he gets it. Brushes on, and they crash into him. Penalty flag on the kick. Here's Pat Cranston trying to break free. 25, 30. 35 and down, but it doesn't matter.
This may very well be running into the kicker and not the 15, but maybe, I don't know, I'm seeing the Rodgers bench saying it's a first down. It's a personal foul, so is it the big one, or is there a differentiation in high school? I'm not 100% sure.
No question. There were almost, I think, three Islanders who went crashing into Nixon Brownell.
Yep. Nearly got the ball, but they did not.
This looks like a 15-yarder.
It is, and another mistake, and oh my goodness.
Down to the 32 of the Islanders.
Boy, you just can't have that happen when you're going to get the ball back.
So the Viking drive is alive.
This will now be the 10th play of that drive, and Middletown finally had slowed down the momentum of Rodgers and then gave it right back. There's timeout on the field here.
We do have a timeout called, which gives us an opportunity to take a 30-second break, and we'll be right back.
We have an official timeout on the field.
Hey.
Well, we think we're going to take a 30-second break, but now I don't think we can because I don't think we have enough time. So we'll keep it right here. Let's see what the Vikings have in mind now. Side knocked off his feet right away as he gets to the line. It's unanimous.
Okay.
I hear you, John Franco, but I can't talk back to you. Oh, you weren't hearing me. That's interesting. Okay. Huh. All right. Second down and 10. And this time, Aponte keeps, pitches it wide. Nothing there. Oh. What a tackle in the backfield by the Islanders.
My goodness.
And the young man who is responsible for that.
That Cam?
Julian Gilman.
Gilman, okay.
That play went nowhere.
Went backwards, basically. Loss of about 5 or actually 6 yards on the play. It's going to be 3rd and 16. And that was Travis with the carry?
I believe so.
Okay.
I was more taken in by the tackle.
Yeah, it was quite a tackle.
3rd down. First down markers at the 22. The ball's at the 38-yard line. Cisco rolling back, being pressured. Pass complete to Toribio. Toribio will be slowed down and brought down around the 30-yard line. Good open field tackle that time by the Islanders.
But also a good gain because then they can now be a little bit more comfortable going for it. Picked up about 8 yards on that pass play. And it's going to be 4th down and 8.
Andrew Souza responsible for the tackle. So the ball at the 31 of Middletown on 4th down and a little less than 10. And the Vikings will be going for it right here.
Well, it's at the 31, so might as well. 13th play of the drive.
All right, a spread formation. Aponte under center. Drops back, looks, throws downfield, a long one. It's for Travis Burrows, but it's incomplete and overthrown.
Good coverage that time. It was sort of stride for stride by Dwayne Julius, I believe.
Yep, number 7.
So Middletown will take over on down. So the missed blocked punt and the running into the roughing the punters didn't hurt them that much, but they lost some time and some yards.
So now the Islanders get it back with 3:53 left in the first half, and they're down 7-0. R.J. Wiggins out wide over here near us on the near side. Slot back over on the right side. And the snap and the pass over the middle. Oh. Caught. Cam Miller stays on his feet. 45. Looking for blocks. 50. 45. And pushed out of bounds or runs out of bounds around the 40-yard line of Rogers.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
First and 10 for the Islanders. Rogers 40-yard line. Slot formation right side. The back is Trent Ames. Back to pass. And on the wing, it is knocked incomplete. Intended again for Cam Miller. Guarded tightly. And among those over there to help make the play for the Vikings was David Rivera. 2nd down and 10 for Middletown.
And this is the third time they've been in Rogers territory. Every possession, nothing to show for it.
No, stopped on downs and picked off. 3:21 to go in the first half. 7-0 Rogers. slots left and right. De La Cruz with the snap, looking around, throwing over the middle, and there's some contact, incomplete pass, and a penalty flag, two of them. This is going to be pass interference.
It was a little bit late coming out of the pocket, but it was the right call.
So they'll mark this off from the line of scrimmage, and the drive stays alive on the pass interference call against the Vikings.
So that'll take it down to the 25-yard line. Of course, in high school, it's a 15-yard penalty. By the way, I love that rule. I hate the spot of the foul rule.
And we have a timeout called by the Vikings. So we'll take another one of our 30-second timeouts, and we'll be right back.
At Clements Marketplace, family-owned and operated since 1980, the Butcher's Block offers the finest custom cuts of meat and their famous freshly ground beef, produced in-house every day from only the finest beef. Their by-the-sea department features the best in seafood choices, with a good portion from the wharves of Newport. Clements Bake Shop custom-designed cakes for special events, even scans a favorite photo to make it truly personal, and creates freshly baked breads, cookies, pies, cakes, and so much more.
And you are listening to High School Football Action live on FM 101.1, also on WADK.com. First and 10 from Middletown at the 25 of Rogers.
They'd like to finish this drive because the first two, they were not able to. And they trail 7-0. Rogers with that lead, 3:15 left to go in the half.
Julian Gilman is going to be standing next to the quarterback, Julian De La Cruz. Slots left and right. De La Cruz back to pass. Throws on the far side, and it is caught. Nice catch made over there by Pat Cranson.
I believe it's a little short of a first down, but a good gain.
He just went down and cut toward the far sideline and got himself a good position to make that catch at the 17-yard line, it looks like.
Does look that way.
Second down and about three. 2:45 left in the half. Middletown trying to even things up. De La Cruz looking to the sideline to get the play. Gets people in the right position, including Cranson in the slot right side. Trent Ames is the back, and this time it's Trent who gets the call. Right side and opening. 10, down to the 5, inside the 5 to set up a first and goal. So the Islanders getting control of the line of scrimmage, and a Viking is down at the 10-yard line. That'll stop the clock with 2:16 remaining in the half. And the gentleman for the Vikings is a bit writhing in pain right now as he's on his knees. Now he gets up. And he picked up the number. All right, for the Vikings, it is Nathan Threats, who's having a tough time and will come out of the game.
14-yard pickup that time. A little unsure whether it was Ames or Gilman.
I thought it was number 4. If it's number 4, then it's Trent Ames.
Right.
So the ball is, where, down about the 7?
No, right? Well,
no,
closer
I'm sorry,
than that.
Inside the 5.
Yeah, about the 4. 4.5, maybe. Well, we'll call it the 4.
Mr. Threats is over here on the sideline trying to work out some kind of pain.
Could be a cramp. Would not be surprised at all. It's hot night.
So the Viking defense is being challenged right here. Islanders are on the run. They've come up short both times they've threatened.
This is as deep as they've gotten.
They were stopped on downs. They were picked off. And here they are at the Rogers 4, first and goal. And it will be Julian Gilman in the backfield, alongside the quarterback.
Julian Gilman is not a very big guy, but boy, I'll tell you, he's He's worked real hard tonight.
Oh, he's about 180, 185. 5'7", 5'6".
Yep.
And in motion.
Oh, no.
Whistles blow.
There we go. Another mistake
ball
by Middletown.
There's a procedure penalty at Middletown. So slow down on that momentum factor. 5 yards back to the 9-yard line.
Okay, there's a huge difference between the 4 and the 9 down here.
On a first and goal.
2:16 left to go in the half.
Islanders set it up in the shotgun. The snap, the handoff. Left side, an opening, and a touchdown. Julian Gilman. Big opening on the left side by the front line of the Islanders, like T.J. Bazard and Jackson Nagel. Oh, good. Somebody has a smoke bomb that they just go right in front of us in the stands. All right. So Middletown gets the much-needed touchdown. Can they get the much-needed extra point? And doing the honors will be Pat Cranson. See if he can't even it up. That is a versatile young man. He does a lot. All right. There's the snap. Here's the kick.
Wow.
Long enough and good enough. We are tied 7-7 with 2:10 to go in the first half. We'll be back after this message from R&R.
R&R Construction and the McDonald family have provided the very best in residential and commercial renovations, additions, decking, and much more. R&R's skilled craftsmen offer years of experience. No job's too big or too small. For your construction needs, get the job done right. Get R&R to do it. Fully insured, fully qualified. R&R Construction. Free estimates always available. Call R&R at 848-7797. Or go to rnrconstructioncompany.com.
And Mr. Ascoli, if you don't mind, tell me about that drive.
Well, it was a quick hitter. 5 plays, 6-9 yards. Julian Gilman takes it in from the 9-yard line. The kick was good, and we are getting the game we expected. 7-7. 2:10 to go before halftime. It's a rivalry game, and it's playing like it right now.
Rodgers will have possession to start the second half, and they're going to get possession right now with 2:10 remaining in the half.
So that double possession thing. Lots of whistles for some reason.
Yes, the referee, Richard Morissette, saw something he needs to straighten out, and he has.
Okay.
The kick, Pat Cranson, high, end over end, not too deep, and taken inside the 15-yard line, and the run back will be stopped inside the 30-yard line. What a tackle made right there by the Islanders, Andrew Souza.
Yeah, he shed a block and just, and again, the tackling by Middletown a couple of times tonight has been textbook, you know, leading with the shoulder. You know, just a really, really solid tackle. But he's out to the 27. That's where Rodgers will start what could potentially be the final drive of the first half.
Rodgers has no timeouts remaining.
Really?
Middletown has all of theirs.
Huh.
So here come the Vikings from their 27. Aponte under center. Takes the snap. And hands it off, and off on the wide side is Travis Burrows, spinning and churning his way forward to about the 34-yard line. So he's there to help make the stop for the Islanders.
It's about 7 on the play.
Maybe, Andrew Souza.
Maybe not quite that much, maybe 6.
Mr. Souza's made himself a bunch of tackles in this game.
Yeah, he has.
All right. Clock continues to run. Minute 35 to go in the half. We're inside the 35-yard line on second down and almost 4. In motion goes Burrows to the right side. Ball's on the ground on the snap. Saved by the Vikings. And right there to save that possession for Rodgers.
Trivio.
Was Alex Trivio. So Middletown's going to take their first timeout in case they can get the ball back. Right now there's 1:17 to go, and we're coming up to a third down situation here for Rodgers.
Third down in about maybe six almost.
Rodgers in Middletown at Topa Field in Newport on a Friday night. We got a lot of people watching this game in the bleachers, lining the chain link fence down on the field behind the Rodgers bench. The ball is at the 32 of the Vikings.
Yeah, it'll be third down and really pretty close to six. So Middletown is hoping with this timeout if they can stop them on third, force a punt, and they'll call a second timeout if they can, you know, get a stop here.
All right. Cisco's going to work under center.
Okay.
Rodgers will run it. Travis Burrows, left side, breaks a tackle. First down and a little more, keeping the drive alive and keeping it out of the hands of Middletown.
Well, calling the timeout did not work. Travis Burrows gets out to about the 41-yard line, a pickup of 9 on the play. And as you said, Rodgers will keep the drive alive with 104 left to go in the first half. Good game so far tonight. There have been mistakes, as you're going to see in a opening game like this, and a rivalry game at that. There have been penalties and dropped balls and things like that, but generally speaking, it's been pretty nicely played by both sides.
Out to the 41 with the ball, and Rodgers with it, first and 10. Clock is running, 35 seconds left in the first half.
No hurry up in Rodgers' approach right now.
Cisco under center, puts a man in motion to the right, pitch goes to the right, and a loss. Great job on the coverage by who else? Julian Gilman.
He is having a night.
And Middletown will call another timeout.
You wonder why now, but anyway. But there was a loss on that play of 6 yards back to the 35.
I didn't see who the ball carrier was. I'm sorry.
I do believe it was Travis.
So the timeout is taken. We'll take another 30-second timeout. We'll be back after Newport Propane's message.
Newport Propane and the Sherman family have been serving Rhode Islanders for nearly 60 years. At Newport Propane, we take pride in offering the very best customer service to clients who are truly part of our extended family. And when it comes to our installations, our customers receive only the best, with work that stands up like no other to the challenges that our beautiful coastline provides. Come join the Newport Propane family and see why so many fellow Rhode Islanders already have.
Mr. Angel, Mr. Ascoli, not necessarily in that order. I guess we could go alphabetically. Oh, never mind. All right. Rodgers trying to run out this half if they can. And it will be a handoff to Travis Burrows again, and he'll get a nice gain up to about the 45, 46-yard line before he's knocked off his feet.
It's going to be about 5 yards short of a first down, and that's going to end the half.
Jack Belcher made the tackle. And the final seconds tick away, and Rodgers runs out of time, and we have reached halftime. And we are right dead even. 7-7, Middletown and the Vikings at Topa Field on a Friday night. We will take a timeout for a few messages. We've got want you to hear about A1 Roof. We want you to hear from Gustav Voigt and from Midtown Oyster Bar. That's coming up right now, and then we shall be back on FM 101.1.
What's peanut butter without the jelly? What's ying without the yang? This is what A1 Roofing asked themselves when thinking about roofing and solar. And thus, A1 has launched their solar division in partnership with the master electricians at Beacon Solar. The time to go green's now. Take advantage of the 26% federal solar tax credit and energy incentives while they last. Call A1 Roofing to learn more about solar panels, battery storage, and electric vehicle charging stations. 265-1019.
Gust of White Sotheby's International Realty, selling Newport County homes since 1925. This full-service agency, locally owned by Paul Lees and Chris West, is an invaluable resource for residential sales, rentals, appraisals, and auctions, offering a wealth of local knowledge and worldwide exposure for your property. Don't just put a sign in front of your house, put your house in front of the world. Through Gust of White Sotheby's International Realty, 37 Bellevue Avenue, Newport. Phone 849-3000 or visit gustofwhite.com.
Midtown Oyster Bar, your number one choice for the freshest seafood and the largest raw bar in town. Perfect for casual snacks and cocktails or a formal dining experience. Steps away, the Surf Club offers cozy comfort anchored by their brick oven pizza and handcrafted cocktails. Midtown Oyster Bar, 345 Thames, the Surf Club, 337 Thames. Two exceptional Newport waterfront experiences. Check out MidtownOyster.com.
Well, while you were away, Middletown had called a timeout before the half ran out. They had 2 seconds. I'm sorry. No, it was Middletown. And so Rogers had one more play. It was a long pass. It was caught by Miles Ventura, but he was out of bounds when he caught it, so it made no difference.
I haven't the slightest idea why they would call timeout there.
I just give them to use it up.
That's right. If you don't use it, you lose it, right?
So, now we're at halftime. It's 7-7, and I mean it this time. So,
can we trust you, though?
No, never, ever. Let me tell you what else is going on tonight. Another football game. It's the Portsmouth football team that is playing at North Kingstown as we speak. And girls soccer, Portsmouth is at Lincoln. Earlier in the afternoon, Middletown girls soccer played at St. George's. There were girls tennis matches earlier today, Rogers hosting St. Ray's, and Portsmouth was at North Kingstown. On tomorrow's schedule, most of it's Salve Regina oriented, but there is a boys soccer game for Portsmouth tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock, and that'll be at Tolman. In the Salve events tomorrow, men's soccer will be hosting Keene State at 2. The women's soccer team will play at Bridgewater State at 2. The Salve field hockey team will be home against Salem State at noon. In women's volleyball, the Salve forces will be hosting Bridgewater State at 11 and Riviere at 3. And in men's and women's cross country, the Salve teams will be participating in the Smith College Invitational starting at 10 tomorrow morning. Don't forget now, we are ready to name players of the game for both sides, and that will be featuring gift certificates from the Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant in downtown Newport. This year, Rogers and Middletown remain in Division 3, with Middletown in Division 3A. Their opponents include Charahoe, Classical, Coventry, Lincoln, North Smithfield, Mount St. Charles Co-op, Tollgate, and Tolman. Rogers is in Division 3B. Their opponents are, you two will like this, Mount Hope, also Ponagansett, West Warwick, Johnston, Moses Brown, Narragansett, Pilgrim, and the Vikings. So that's your divisional matchup for this year's competition. Here at Topa Field, it's a 7-7 tie with Rogers and Middletown going at it. Let me take a little time out right here before we get to Jim and the numbers. A 1 minute break, and we shall be right back.
For 32 years, Corrigan Financial has been serving the needs of families and thriving businesses throughout our Aquidneck Island community. Corrigan Financial has developed a truly comprehensive approach to managing wealth, with a focus on big-picture financial planning, disciplined investment strategies, and sound tax planning.
Today, Corrigan Financial has more than 1,000 clients investing over $1 billion in assets. Each client is managed by a team of dedicated tax planning and investment professionals. This is a comprehensive, not fragmented approach to financial decision making. The staff at Corrigan takes pride in not only serving our community, but also reaching out and actively helping our community. They frequently participate in charitable events, donating their time and talent. Corrigan Financial, proudly assisting more than 50 nonprofit groups annually. And for 32 years, helping families and businesses get from where they are to where they want to be.
All righty. The excitement is building as Jim Ascoli steps to the microphone to tell you all about this first half.
Well, it was a good one in some ways, and it was kind of sloppy in others. But, again, opening night, you know, it's a rivalry game. You're going to see some mistakes, and they both made them. But that's why we're tied at 7-7 here at halftime. It's been a good one in that sense. Rodgers got on the board first. And when Rodgers came out in their opening possession, and it was their opening possession that they scored their touchdown, they looked like they were going to run for 300 yards tonight. They just were absolutely opening gaping holes. And you know, it's funny, you know, you'll talk to a coach, particularly a high school coach, after the game, and you'll say, well, gee, what happened on that first possession? And they'll say something along the lines of, well, we just told our linebackers, don't take that step to the left that you're taking. You know what I mean? It's something, sometimes it's something so small. And that seems to be what happened, because Rodgers looked like gangbusters in the opening drive, and Middletown has adjusted their defense in a way that they've really kind of stopped them since. But on that opening drive, Rodgers went 5 plays, 78 yards, and with 4:16 left to go in the first quarter, Cisco Aponte ran it in from the 1-yard line. There was a 56-yard run in there by Alex Toribio, and the extra point kick was good. And it was 7-0 Rodgers as the first quarter came to a close. Late in the second quarter, Middletown finally stopped shooting themselves in the foot with mistakes, got down inside the Rodgers deep in Rodgers territory to finish a 5-play, 69-yard touchdown drive. Julian Gilman running it in from the 9-yard line. The kick was good. It was 7-7 then. It is 7-7 now at halftime. That score happened with 2:10 to go in the half. Talking about individual numbers for Middletown first. Trent Ames, 5 carries, 27 yards, 5.4 yards a carry. Julian Gilman, who's been just having a terrific night, 5 carries, 46 yards, 9.2 yards a carry, and he's got the touchdown. Cam Miller has a carry for 5 yards. Julian Dela Cruz passing, 5 for 9 passing for 59 yards. He was picked off once in the end zone. The catches, 3 for Cam Miller for 41 yards, 2 for Pat Cranson for 18. So Middletown has 78 yards on the ground in 11 carries. 5 for 9 passing for 59 more. They've got 137 total yards here at the half. For Rodgers, Travis Burrows, 11 carries, 36 yards, 3.3 yards a carry. Now, Alex Toribio, who had 56 yards on his first carry, has 4 carries for 59 yards, 14.8 yards a carry. J.C. Michelle, a carry for 19. Cisco Aponte, 3 carries, no yards, but he's got the touchdown. Aponte is 2 for 5 passing for 12 yards. Both catches by Toribio for those 12 yards. So Rodgers, 19 carries, 114 yards on the ground, 2 for 5 passing for 12. They have 126 total yards. Middletown has 137. Real close on the stat sheet. Real close on the scoreboard. We are 7-7 here at halftime.
Let me take another 60-second timeout. Hear from our friends at Brick Alley, and we'll be right back with you as halftime is nearing an end.
The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, a local favorite since 1980 and a longtime supporter of Aquidneck Island youth sports programs. The Brick Alley is the 2022 winner as Newport's best restaurant, as well as being a past winner of Rhode Island Restaurant of the Year. There is something for everyone at the Brick. Anytime's a great time to do the Brick's famous nacho platters.
their award-winning burgers, steaks, and seafood dishes, and so much more. Just as in the world of sports, teamwork is everything at the Brick Alley. So come on in and see what the incredible team at the Brick can do for you. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant is open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner. For more information, go to brickalley.com or stop in. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, 140 Thames, downtown Newport. A classic dining experience since 1980.
And we are back. Jim Scully, Bob Angel.
Teams have returned to their respective sidelines. Middletown's actually very near the end zone to our left. Rogers on the sideline. They got about 2.5 minutes to kind of warm up a little bit, and then we'll get going on this second half. Rogers will receive the second half kickoff in a 7-7 tie. Again, it's been, you know, a little up and down for both teams, but as close as we thought it might be, we kind of came into this game thinking it was going to be a good one, and it has been. I think probably the most satisfied I've been for over the past two nights, which is on these two very warm nights, there have really been no injuries. And I mean, the Salve game last night, somebody kind of was down temporarily for Salve, and a Rogers player might have cramped up a little tonight, but you know, no one seems to have you know, suffered anything by this heat, which is a good thing.
And we've got college football going on over at Kingston. URI's in action tonight.
Yeah, it's early in the second quarter, and they already lead Stony Brook 21-7. The Rhode Island offense is unbelievable. Their sixth-year quarterback he threw for over 400 yards last week, and considering they've got 21 on the board tonight, I'm going to guess he's probably doing the same thing. It's Mr. Hill, I believe, and 6 years, because it's 4 years, you know, obviously the regular college. There's the COVID year, which gave people a fifth year, and now he's a grad student in year number six. So, to say the least, this is the interesting thing. The URI quarterback is older than Mac Jones.
All right, we are getting close to starting up the third quarter. Don't forget, Jim and I are going to pick our players of the game. One for Rogers, one for Middletown, and each receives a gift certificate from the Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant in downtown Newport. So Rogers will be on the receiving end of the second half kickoff. It'll be Pat Cranson doing the honors.
Again, Rogers started like a house of fire. Middletown made some adjustments. Let's see if the halftime can cause some readjustments on Rogers' part.
Travis Burrows, Cisco Aponte deep. It's a ground ball kick. Rolling, picked up by Cisco at the 20-yard line. Looking for a block. Gets away from a couple of near hits. Slowed down, brought down near the 33-yard line. And getting in there again is Jack Belcher.
That's something you don't see very often. The starting quarterback also returning kickoffs.
He can do it all, yeah, Mr. Aponte.
He's a good one.
All right.
Both quarterbacks really well-respected heading into this season. We'll see how it all plays out. They'll start at their own 32-yard line. Will Rogers. Oh, very good.
All right. Let's see what the Vikings are going to try here to start this second half in a 7-7 tie. And Cisco will be starting it off under center. And in motion goes to the right. Handoff goes to the left. Travis Burrows to about the 39-yard line before he is...
That's Alex Toribio.
Is it Toribio?
Yep.
Sorry. Brought down by Andrew Souza.
Again, there was good penetration into the backfield by the Middletown linemen, but they could not get a hold on Alex Toribio, and he went forward for about 7 yards.
Alex coming back from an ankle injury.
Coming back rather nicely.
Doing okay. He's a strong young man, and he's only a junior. Out to center the ball for Rogers, Brady Toner, one of the captains. Single wide to the right, man in motion to the left, gets the handoff. This is Travis Burrows. Turns the corner, stays on his feet, into Middletown territory. Ball came loose on the tackle.
I'm not sure they're going to call it loose, but it looked like it did.
It is still Rogers' ball.
As he was going to the ground, he kind of stretched his arm out, and Middleton just sort of dove on the ball in his outstretched arms. But they're saying he was down, and he'll go into the Middletown territory at their 48, pickup of 13 yards. And again, they come out of the locker room looking mighty good.
Travis is 6'2", 165, and another guy who's hard to bring down initially. In the backfield, it's a single setback. It's Toribio. Man in motion to the right. Alex goes right up the middle and breaks free. 30-yard line, 20-yard line, down to the 10. Slowed down and brought down by Cam Miller inside the 10-yard line. Alex Toribio, another big run.
It's like we're watching a rerun of the opening of the first half. Alex Toribio takes... eight-yard line, a 40-yard pickup. Add that to his 56-yarder in the first half.
When he breaks that initial contact, he has a great acceleration. But Cam Miller's acceleration was a little bit better, and he caught up to him.
So first and goal.
At the eight, Toribio still in the backfield by himself. Burrows is on the wing. He goes in motion left, and it will be Toribio
trying to go wide.
Stopped at the five.
Yeah, maybe inside, maybe to the four. We'll see where they put it. Nope, right on the five.
Gianfranco, I know you're talking to me, but I can't talk back to you.
five-yard line.
All right. Second and goal it is. J.C. Michelle split in the backfield. This time it's a handoff up the middle, but Alex Toribio can't find a hole.
Again, good penetration by Middletown for a lot of this drive, but it hasn't been that successful. That time it was. They kind of blew the play right at the line of scrimmage.
At the five-yard line, third and goal for the Vikings, trying to break a 7-7 tie.
I mean, they may go for a field goal here if they don't get this one. But you might be looking at four-down territory either way.
Mullins out wide to the left. And here is the handoff. It goes to wide right, diving toward the end zone.
Ball's loose.
Ball came loose in the end zone.
That was J.C. Michelle, I believe. It's a touchback. Middletown has recovered the fumble in the end zone.
Well, ball security was an issue last year for the Vikings. And this year, it rears its ugly head. And a fumble in the end zone cost the Vikings a chance to take the lead.
Wow. They were just, I mean, he was one step away from putting them ahead 13-7. And the ball popped loose, and Middletown dove on it in the end zone. They'll get the ball out at the 20-yard line, first and 10. And, boy, is that a break for the Islanders.
Let's see how the Viking defense handles this turn of events as the Islanders go back to work on offense behind their senior quarterback, Julian De La Cruz. Julian Gilman's had himself a night so far, and Trent Ames has been helpful in that backfield as well. But Julian's a passer.
Hasn't thrown much tonight, but he's been pretty good.
All right, from the 20, first and 10, in the shotgun. Man in motion goes to the right. It'll be a handoff straight ahead and a 3 or 4 yard gain right there. And that was Trent Ames. Helping to bring him down was Nixon Brownell.
Yeah, they're going to give them all a five on that one, so it's going to be second down and five.
To the 25-yard line. Early second half and a 7-7 tie at Topa Field. Wide to the right side, no, the left side is R.J. Wiggins.
Haven't heard much from him tonight.
And the handoff goes wide that side, and running nicely is Trent Ames. He's breaking tackles. He's out near midfield. Got some nice blocking wide on the left side, and Mr. Ames took full advantage of it.
Gets all the way out to about the 48-yard line. Pickup of 23.
Islanders get right up to the line of scrimmage. Set up the next play.
Yeah.
Little hurry up here.
Trying to catch Rodgers a little bit on their heels.
Man in motion to the right. It's Cranston. He gets the pass. He's got no protection at all. Gets away from one tackle and then is gang tackled for little or no gain.
That might be the toughest 1 yard he's ever gotten.
Yeah, he was out there. He caught the pass and there were three Vikings coming right at him.
Yep. Well, they're going to give him 2 yards on the reception.
All right, so it's at the 50. Second down and eight for Middletown. Again, the front line for the Islanders is Griff Kleineck, the center. Guards Tyler McVay and Jackson Nagel. Tackles Will Buzzard and TJ Buzzard. In this setup, it's a slot formation to the right side. In the shotgun, De La Cruz drops back, being rushed and sacked back inside the 40-yard line. Three more Vikings charging in on Julian De La Cruz.
He had absolutely no chance that time. And he lost a ton of yards, too. Lost nearly 10 yards on that sack.
Once again, we've got Rodgers, number 77, is not listed.
No, we don't have him.
Just that other roster that's not numerical, I don't know if that has him. But good play by the Viking defense. And the ball's back near the 40 in Middletown territory. This time, Trent Ames will go out wide to the left side.
Nope.
Slot formation to the right. From the shotgun. Throw over the middle, wide open, and he dropped it. Not able to hang on to it was Trent Ames. Down around the 35 of the Vikings, and we've got a Viking down deep in the defensive territory.
That would have been a first down, but the ball, in fairness, was a tiny bit behind the receiver, and he just couldn't reach back and get it. He had an opening. If that throw was on the money and led him, probably would have taken it right to the house. This looks like a cramp for sure.
So a little delay here while we attend to the Viking, who's on his back right now. They try to work that cramp out. John Horseman, the head coach out there, to keep his man company.
Again, I remember just about a year ago when we were in Middletown and we did a game in a hot night. It was like, I swear, it must have been 10 plays in a row. 10 different players hobbled off with a cramp. So it's, it's tough to play in the heat. So it's tough to play in the cold at the end of the season. We're heading into that sweet spot in late September and early October. Not there yet.
Unable to pick up the number just yet. Now he's sitting up.
Is that Travis Burrows?
Is that number two?
Not sure.
Trying to get up. And it is Travis. He's up, but he needs a little help.
I'm going to hope it's a cramp.
And he's not putting any weight on that right leg.
Yeah, that's not good news. But like I said, we can hope it's a cramp, and he's just kind of not wanting to put any pressure on it. Well, we're going to see Middletown punt for the first time as they're facing a 4th and 19.
Pat Cranston takes care of the kicking chores. And back for the Vikings, Miles Ventura. And that might be Cisco. I can't quite see the number. Now we get one more Islander to come in and help the cause. There's a snap. It's high, but Cranston has it. He gets it away.
Good one.
Good kick that bounces in front of the deep backs. It's rolling. Ventura lets it go, and it will be down by the Middletown Islanders at the 15-yard line. So a good kick there by Pat, and now we've got an Islander down.
Oh, my.
Back where the punt took place. And this might be another cramping situation.
The funny thing about these cramps is that when you get them, it feels like it, like horrible. You can see him kind of writhing on the ground, but it could be just a cramp. Well, let's just hope. Now, is that the punter is the question?
I don't know. I can't tell if it's Pat or not. He's on his back, so the number is not visible. If it's number 11, it's Pat Cranson, but we can't see that yet. We're in the third quarter. 5:48 remaining, a 7-7 tie.
I think me saying that I'm so happy we haven't seen any injuries over the past two nights. Probably should have kept my mouth shut on that one.
And it looks like they're trying to work out a cramp here.
Yeah, it's
for the Islander.
In this heat. And again, it's so hard to hydrate when you have players that go both ways. You know what I mean? When you're playing offense and defense, when do you hydrate? You know, only on timeouts and things. So, or if the coach, you know, moves you in and out. 7-7, 5:48 left to go in the third quarter as things have started to slow down here with the cramping up of players, we believe, and we hope. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't a cramp on Travis Burrows, that would be a big loss for this offense. I'm trying to see if he's in the huddle. I don't see him on the sidelines.
I do see number 11 from Middletown.
Okay.
He's
and
in
I
the
think,
huddle.
And I think I see Burrows sitting on the bench, so he is not in the lineup right now.
So we still haven't been able to identify the Middletown Islander who's having a cramp issue.
And again, that's a tough break for Rodgers because they've had this sort of two-headed running monster of Travis Burrows and Alex Toribio. And now Burrows is on the sideline. And whatever it is, it's taken them a while to deal with the Middletown player.
Well, let's see if we can't take a little 30-second break here while there's nothing going on. We'll be back after this word from our friends at Clements.
At Clements Marketplace, family-owned and operated since 1980, the Butcher's Block offers the finest custom cuts of meat and their famous freshly ground beef, produced in-house every day from only the finest beef. Their by-the-sea department features the best in seafood choices, with a good portion from the wharves of Newport. Clements Bake Shop custom design cakes for special events, even scans a favorite photo to make it truly personal, and creates freshly baked breads, cookies, pies, cakes, and so much more.
Julian Gilman. Boy, you don't want that either. No. You got Travis Burrows hurt on one side and Gilman on the other. That is not good news.
Well, he's walking off the field under his own power with a very slight limp.
I'm going to guess he's going to be back, but first they're going to give him about, I don't know, 14,
Rogers ball
16
back
ounces.
15 and a nice run here by Alex Toribio.
Well, it's going to be him for a while until they can get Burrows back. If they can get Burrows back.
Alex is more of a power back.
But he's also shown some ability to break free, too.
Travis Burrows is still on the sidelines.
Picked up about 7 yards.
Second down and about 3 for Rodgers at their own 23.
Gilman is running on the sideline. Trying to work it out. He looks absolutely fine.
Yeah, he does.
He's saying, where's my helmet?
All right, under center, Cisco Aponte will give it straight ahead to Alex Toribio again, and he drives forward for what looks to be a first down.
Sure does. It is. He needed to get to the 26, and he's out almost to the 29. We'll call it the 28.
And getting up from the bottom of the pile is Will Warren for Middletown.
Travis Burrows also looking pretty healthy along the sideline to the near sideline. And there's another Middletown player on the ground. Boy, this is starting to feel familiar from last year.
Yeah, staying hydrated is a key on a night like tonight. And it might be catching up to both sides on this one. An Islander down on his back.
And we hate to minimize these injuries, but we're just assuming that they're cramps, and this one clearly is.
Yeah, they lift that leg immediately.
They
in this
stretch
case,
it out, yep.
They lift both legs immediately.
Yep.
And then we'll have to see who this is lying on the ground at the 35-yard line of Rodgers. But this is a Middletown player.
Yep.
7-7, 4:45 remaining in the third quarter.
And this is a game that has the capability of moving very quickly, because both of these teams have been keeping it on the ground, but these injuries are kind of taking all the momentum out of this out of the game right now. It's amazing how the players react to the cramps, too. I mean, it's
almost a helpless feeling.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, you've had them in the middle of the night, I'm sure.
It'll go away when it's damn ready to go away.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we're calling it a cramp. Some people call it a Charlie horse. And interestingly enough, they don't really know what causes those. And they do say that if you wait it out, it'll go away. But it's so hard to wait it out.
Travis Burrows is back on the field.
Yeah, he was looking fine.
Play some offense.
Yep.
The Middletown player is still down on his back.
Middletown, rest of the defense is coming back on the field. They may just decide to play around this player.
I don't think they can do that.
No, probably not. But Rogers breaks the huddle, so we may see how that goes.
Everybody waiting. They're trying like heck to work those cramps out, but it's taking a while.
They kind of flex the toe and then point it and, you know.
Feel bad for the young man who's going through this right now. He's really having a tough time getting rid of the cramp.
Yep.
And it looks like they're more waiting for it to go away than doing anything to rub it away. So a pause in the action once again here at Topa Field.
Let's just hope this doesn't continue, because, I mean, as I said, I'll never forget last year's game where it was just one after the other.
Fans sitting patiently in the bleachers, waiting for the action to resume.
It's too bad, too, because the game did have a nice flow to it. Now it's kind of stop and go.
Well, they might have heard you talking about that game last year. Maybe they're trying to somehow replicate it.
Again, as I said earlier, I mean, when you're playing both ways, as a guy like Julian Gilman is and Burrows, I mean, there's very little time to get over there and, you know, grab water. It just is. So you just have to hope you're as hydrated as you can be coming into the game and do the best you can during the game. Like the college game last night, hardly anyone plays both ways. So, you know, when the offense is on the field, the defense can be at the water cooler or the Gatorade.
Looks like we're going to get the Middletown player, well, at least in a sitting position right now.
Yep.
We're trying to help him up, but they're going to take their time with this young man. Are they going to end up carrying him?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, they are.
They're carrying him off the field.
Well, let's hope that's not more serious than we were.
I can't read the number.
I thought it was a one, but I can't really tell.
It might be Pat Cranson, number 11. I see two numerals, and they both
look
like ones.
It is 11, yeah, it is. It's Pat.
It is Pat. That's a loss to the defensive side of things.
No doubt about it.
Here's a play by the Vikings. It goes wide to the left side. Running room, Travis Burrows breaks the tackle. Double team, pushed down at the 40-yard line.
Another first down, though.
Belcher on the tackle. Helped out that time by Andrew Souza again. The Vikings, though, with Travis Burrows doing the honors, get it out to the 40. First and 10 for Rogers, going right to left here in this third period. Coming your way live on FM 101.1 and WADK.com, Bob Angel alongside Jim Muscoli and our rookie board up, Gianfranco. Single wide out, far to the right. Aponte under center, hands it up on the left side again to Travis Burrows. Caught from behind, but not after a 10-yard pickup.
Again, Middletown in the backfield, but not able to get their hands on these runners. Again, he picked up about 9-10 yards on the play.
And Julian Gilman again making the tackle.
So
he's back.
So at the 49-yard line, it's going to be second down and about one.
And going out wide for the Vikings, wide to the right is Miles Ventura in motion to the right. Misdirection. It goes off tackle left side. Travis Burrows again, I believe.
I believe you are right.
It yep. is Travis.
And once again, on the second drive of this half, they're doing the same thing, just marching it down the field. Last time, they fumbled it on the one into the end zone, and Middletown recovered, or else they'd be up 14-7, or at least 13.
Well, they're looking like maybe the Islanders are over-pursuing.
It does appear that way.
And they're using the misdirection to accommodate that. In motion again, Chris Connerton sets it up now on the left wing. Wide is Ventura. The handoff off tackle. Here's Toribio inside the 40-yard line of Middletown. He is a hard runner.
Yeah, picked up about 7 or 8. They are just, again, absolutely owning the line of scrimmage right now. They're only going to give him 6 on the carry.
Dwayne Julius helped on the stop at the 39 of the Islanders.
About 2 minutes to go, 2:10 to go in the third quarter.
Ventura splits out wide to the left. Connerton in the slot left. Handoff straight ahead. Short gain. Not enough for a first down, I don't believe.
No, they definitely not.
Trent Ames gets in on the tackle.
He needed to get to the 35. He's at about the 37. It's going to be third down and 2.
Jackson Nagel helped out on that stop as well. Late in the third quarter, 1:35 to go. We are even at 7. Cisco gets the play from the sidelines and heads for the huddle. And Aponte under center again. Puts Connerton in motion, almost bobbles the snap, gets it back. And
he's going to be just shy.
Balls forward, wrapped up in a hurry by Trent Ames. And I think Trent's got a little bit of a cramp problem going on right now.
And someone on Rogers is down as well.
Trent looks like he can fight his way through it and getting up.
Cisco.
Cisco Aponte.
He's coming to the sideline, but I think it's for the play. It's going to be fourth down and 1, and they'll certainly go for it here, I would think. They need a timeout.
Timeout, Rogers, just to pull it all together. So we'll be back after a message from our friends at O'Brien's. Or maybe not. All right, we'll keep it here.
Again, it's 7-7 in the third quarter, 40 seconds left to go in the third, and this third quarter is taking about as long as the entire first half did because there have been many stoppages of play with players on the ground cramping up. And it really is just the cramping. You can tell because when these injured players get to the sideline, they loosen it up, and then you can see them running, including Pat Cranston. He's just running, and now he's taking in as much water as his body can handle. So he's fine. It's going to be a fourth down and 1 from about the 36-yard line, maybe even less than 1, really.
Rogers going right to left in the final seconds of the third quarter. 40 seconds remaining in this period. Let's see what the Vikings have come up with. Cisco's going to work under center. Let's see if he keeps it.
I'm thinking Toribio.
Snap. And Toribio dives over the 35-yard line. Good for a first down. upended by Griff Kleinecht.
Picked up 2 yards, about approximately 2 yards, inside the 35 to the 34. And we're approaching the end of the third quarter, about 25 seconds to go.
Vikings break it out, set it up, put Miles Ventura wide to the left. Over in the wing formation to the right is Burrows. Terribio, single setback. Burrows in motion, left side. And it goes straight ahead to Alex Terribio.
And they are not capable of bringing him down right now.
He's inside the 30-yard line. And the third quarter comes to an end. 7-7, Rodgers in Middletown. A decisive fourth quarter is on the way after we try this again and take a break to hear from O'Brien. We're just not having any luck. And we are still connected, as far as I can tell, so. Okay, well, let's try this. We can do O'Brien's right now if you can.
O'Brien's Pub, for good food, good friends, good times. Always the perfect place to find a menu accommodating all ages and appetites, plus never-ending fun. Sunday night bingo, trivia night Tuesdays, karaoke Wednesday nights, DJs Fridays and Saturdays. O'Brien's Pub, voted best neighborhood bar the past 2 years. 501 Thames, Newport. Check theobriensPub.net. Phone 849-6623. And on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Always easy parking.
And back with you, Bob Angel, Jim Ascoli, and our board op in charge, Mr. Gianfranco. All right, to start the fourth quarter is Viking ball at the 27-yard line of Middletown.
This is the 13th play of the drive. They have just owned the last about 5 or 6 minutes.
Second and four. Aponte hands it off. It's Terribio trying the left side, short gain.
Might have a first down, though. It's very close. Needed about 3 yards. Looks like he got about two. And again, oh boy, it's close.
It is. It's down on the 23.
Like he, to me, it looks like he has it.
No measurement here, so they are saying he's short by inches. Nope. Now they're going to call a timeout, and they're going to take a measurement.
Well, by this eye... I say he's got it.
And we shall find out as the chain crew comes in from the far sideline. And we'll have the measurement to see if indeed it is or is not a first down. And it is a first down. Confirmed by our public address announcer, Chris Doucette. Well, I'm not sure it needs a microphone.
I'm not sure he uses one.
All right, Cisco's got the play. He heads for the huddle. First and 10, Rodgers at the Middletown 23-yard line. Vikings now going left to right as we view it from the press box at Topa Field. Another hot night. Very humid. Split backfield, man in motion, comes to the right. Handoff goes to Terribio off the left side for a gain of about 3 yards to the 20. Out there battling on that defensive line for Middletown, Ty Butler, Mike Marks, Will Bazzard. Now and then, Colin Connerton, Will Warren, and TJ Bazzard. The linebackers are Jack Belcher, Trent Ames, and Julian Gilman, with Andrew Souza very much a part of that linebacking core. Here come the Vikings to the line of scrimmage at the 20, second down and 7. Cisco continues to operate under center, and he'll give it to Travis Burrows. Slow down and brought down for no gain at the 20. Penetration there by Jack Belcher and company. Also helping out for Middletown. Don't tell me. I'll get it. Where is he?
He actually lost a yard on that play.
That was a... I'm sorry, Andrew Souza. I should know his number by now. Andrew helping out on that tackle. So the ball's at the 21. One. Third down.
Third down at about 8.
Miles Ventura wide to the right. Travis Burrows will set up as a wingback just over the tackle on the right side.
There's a delay of game, I believe.
And it is indeed. Rodgers taking too long to run the play. 5-yard delay of game penalty. That's untimely. That'll push the ball back to the 26-yard line.
Now it's going to make it about a third and about 13. This is the 16th play of this drive. They have had this ball for a long time. You throw a couple of cramps in there, and it feels like they've had it for about a half an hour.
Yeah. All right. Nathan Threats out there to center the ball for the Vikings.
Big play.
Handoff, double handoff. Travis Burrows breaks free of a couple of tackles, pushes, drives inside the 15, and come up just shy of a first down.
He is very close, though. He needed to get to the 13. He got to at least the 14, and that's where he got. So it's going to be fourth down and 1. Good call that time as they had the double handoff. Again, they're kind of capitalizing on the fact that Middletown is kind of overreacting to the ball. And that time, that second handoff freed him up for 12 yards. He needed 13.
All right. Let's see what the Vikings have in mind. Alex Toribio is in there. Straight back. It's going to be Cisco.
He's got it.
Driving forward, pushing forward, and looks like he's given the Vikings a first down to keep the drive alive.
He only needed the 13. I'm pretty sure he's got about the 12. Boy, oh boy, this drive has been special.
And we've got a Rodgers player down. We're going to guess a cramping problem.
Is it a Ponte? Is that because that was the point of the tackle?
Nope. Now he's getting up under his own power.
It is not a Ponte.
No. It is one of the linemen for the Vikings. And
is that David Rivera?
That would be David Rivera Jr. And he's coming off the field under his own power. He looks much better than the previous guys. We're cramped up.
18th play of the drive. It just doesn't get any better than this.
12-yard line of Middletown. Fourth quarter. 8 minutes to go in the game. 7-7. All right, Cisco's going to bring him out. He's been almost exclusively operating under center, not working from the shotgun.
16th play of the drive. I apologize.
Cisco under center again, talking with Travis Burrows, and there's a mix-up, I think, on the play, and John Horseman has to call a timeout to make sure they get it right.
My goodness.
So with the timeout there, we'll take a timeout too. Talk about our friends from R&R Construction, and we'll be back.
Since the early 70s, R&R Construction and the McDonald family have provided the very best in residential and commercial renovations, additions, decking, and much more. R&R's skilled craftsmen offer years of experience. No job's too big or too small. For your construction needs, get the job done right. Get R&R to do it. Fully insured, fully qualified. R&R Construction. Free estimates always available. Call R&R at 848-7797. Or go to rnrconstructioncompany.com.
All right, we are back. And the Vikings go back to work, threatening right now at the 12 of Middletown. First and 10. Left to right they go as we look on. Burrows in the backfield with Toribio. Aponte under center.
will hand it off straight ahead. And a hard run that gets about 4 yards, Alex Toribio.
Again, no secrets here. They hand off to Toribio, hand off to Burrows, mostly Toribio. And they are just making it work. Picked up about from the 12 to about the 9-ish.
Yep.
About 3 yards.
Second down and 7 for the Vikings.
Well, they may keep this ball for a quarter and a half the way it's going. 17th play of the drive.
Well, Middletown can't score if they can't get the ball.
That's very true.
Back split. Aponte gives it to Travis Burrows, trying to go wide. Gets away from one tackle and dives forward to about the 6-yard line. A bunch of the Islanders in on that stop, including Pat Cranson.
It's going to give him about a 3rd and 4. Maybe 5.
Yeah, it's right in between the 7 and the 6. As far as the yard line is concerned, it's a 3rd down.
Either way, they need to get to the 2.
About 5. We now have 6:45 left in the game. Sisko under center. Loses the snap. Has to fall on it.
You're not going to believe this.
Middletown says they've got it.
No.
They don't.
Wow. Middletown was certain they had it.
Sisko recovered it. Didn't handle the snap from center cleanly. His center is Nathan Threats. So the ball's at the 7. 4th down. Vikings really don't have a field goal kicker. Nixon Brownell gives it a try. But it's not a specialty for Nixon.
And they're not even considering it at this point. I don't think I've ever seen a 19-play drive. That's what this is. This is the 19th play of the drive. 4th and about 5.
They're at the 7. They need the 2. Toribio's the single setback in the backfield. Aponte will roll out to the right, looking to throw. Looking, and the ball comes loose.
And he's sacked.
And it is going to be a sack. Aponte comes up with a recovery, but it's going to be Middletown ball at the 10-yard line. Sisko Aponte lost his hold on the football.
My goodness. Hold. Well, I don't think I've ever seen a drive quite like that.
All right.
Started at the 16-yard line of Rogers. They got it all the way down to the 7 of Middletown. My goodness.
So the Islanders get a chance and finally get their hands on the football. 5:47 to go. 7-7.
A 74-yard drive resulting in no points.
All right, let's see if Julian Dela Cruz and company can march upfield here. They got a long way to go from their own 10. Spread formation, trips to the right side, Wiggins to the left. In the shotgun, the snap, Dela Cruz looking, throwing toward Wiggins, trying to make a diving catch, but it's a little bit out of his reach, right in front of the Rogers bench.
He did break into the open, but the throw was too far away and too short.
2nd down and 10. What you don't want right now, if you are a Middletown fan, please don't go 3 and out.
I know, because the defense can't take it.
So, 2nd and 10 from the 10 for the Islanders in the white road uniforms facing the black defensive Vikings. In the shotgun, Julian Dela Cruz gets the snap. Looking, faking. Now rolling out, now throws it on the run, but he'll throw it off the sidelines and incomplete. Closest was Jack Belcher.
He might have been better off keeping that one and just getting as many yards as he could, because there really wasn't anybody open.
So would it be 3rd and 10 from the 10 for the Islanders?
Well, you said it right. They do not want to go 3 and out, but they're about ready to do just that unless something happens here. 5:33 left to go in the game.
Islanders out to the line of scrimmage. Mr. Wiggins sets up wide over here, near side on the left. Double wides to the right. And the snap. De La Cruz looking, waiting, running, chased, throws on the run, incomplete to the far sideline, fourth and 10.
And the only person that was anywhere near that ball was a Rogers defender. And if he had caught that one, it would have been six.
Got to give a lot of credit to the Viking defense.
They sure did come up big on that drive, didn't they?
They did on the line with the pressure. And in the secondary with the coverage. It'll be Miles Ventura and Travis Burrows going back deep for the Vikings, who will likely get this ball around midfield, if not even closer.
Well, I'll bet it's going to be better than that.
Pat Cranson is the punter. He's standing in the end zone, just over the goal line. Bobbles the snap, keeps the snap, and is going to run to the near sideline. He's over the 20-yard line, and that might
be... Oh, no, they marked him short. Or did they? They might have just given it to him.
Very close.
No, they put it past the 20. It's going to be awfully close.
Had to get just past the 20. It's on the 20. Nose of the football. It looks like it's short.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Pat Cranson bobbled the snap, decided to take it and run to his left. And gets a measurement to see if he got far enough or not. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I don't like his chances either.
Now they're going to wait and move the football over here closer to the near sidelines.
Because they put a mark right where he went out. So they know specifically where it is on that. So that's where they'll put it. This would be a huge get if they do have it.
They stretch the chains. It's not good enough. Rogers is celebrating. And they're going to get the ball in incredibly great position here at the 20 of the Islanders.
Well, well, well. He almost pulled it off, but he comes inches short of keeping the drive alive. And now the Middletown defense has to get back on the field again.
I wish I noticed who pushed him out of bounds. Yeah, it was very timely.
It all happened so quickly.
But Rogers gets it back. 20-yard line of Middletown. The Middletown defense will have to get it done again with 5:14 remaining.
You've got to move that ball. You gave him the first down then, Diane.
So the Vikings will go back to work.
Well,
out they come.
Here we go. Does the Middletown defense have another stop in them? I find it hard to believe.
They're showing a five-man front. There's the rush, the handoff up the middle, and battling his way forward. I bet you it's Toribio, but a penalty flag is thrown late in the play.
Don't know exactly what this call is. Someone on Rogers is pointing, but this is usually where there's a hold.
That was Toribio on
it
the
is
run.
It is a hold, I believe.
Yep.
And again, from the spot of the foul, which is around the 17, they'll probably march it back to about the 27. I don't have overtime, Mindy Bob.
I've been thinking about that for several minutes now. Didn't want to say anything.
Just so you know, I'm going on record.
All right, it's 27-yard line. It is going to be a first down. And they've got about 17 to go. They got to get to the 10.
17, yep. What a crazy game.
Vikings break it out, put Miles Ventura wide to the left side. Everybody else in tight. In motion goes Burrows, gets the handoff. Wide on the left side, breaks the tackle, and then is stood up at the 25-yard line and brought down.
Well, they're just crashing now, playing the run. I honestly believe that if Aponte faked the handoff, he could probably throw to somebody wide open because Middletown is crashing the line of scrimmage.
Trent Ames led the tackle on that one.
Pickup of two for Travis.
To the 25. Second down and 15.
Rodgers with the ball and a 7-7 tie, 4:05 remaining.
They may just be playing this for the final drive.
Just need a few first downs here. Although Mr. Toribio has shown the ability to break into an open despite tackling.
I think there's only one first down available to them at about the 10.
All right. Aponte drops back to pass, and being rushed. It's a screen, and it's incomplete. Intended for Travis Burrows. It'll bring up third down and 15 for the Vikings.
That's always a danger on a screenplay, is that when you let linemen go at the quarterback, sometimes they get too close. That time, Cisco had to throw it earlier than he wanted to, and it was a little bit behind Travis Burrows. Third down and 15.
Cisco's got the play from John Horseman on the sidelines. He heads for the huddle. Countdown is on.
And again, that was a pretty good call, figuring that they were crashing the way they were, but he just could not connect.
Incomplete pass stopped the clock with 3:40 to go. Here's Ventura, wide to the right.
Here comes the Middletown line. They're just crashing in, aren't they? Look at them.
All of them up there. Here comes the pressure. Here's the pass. Toribio has it, but he's brought down at the 25-yard line. And that's Julian Gilman leading the charge.
They're probably giving him a yard or so to the 24, but either way, it's going to be fourth and long. Let's see where they put it. No, it's right at the 25 again. Fourth and 15.
Somebody calling a timeout here? I think it's Rodgers. Rodgers will call a timeout, which will give us a chance to take 30 seconds and listen to a message from Newport Propane.
Newport Propane and the Sherman family have been serving Rhode Islanders for nearly 60 years. At Newport Propane, we take pride in offering the very best customer service to clients who are truly part of our extended family. And when it comes to our installations, our customers receive only the best, with work that stands up like no other to the challenges that our beautiful coastline provides. Come join the Newport Propane family and see why so many fellow Rhode Islanders already have.
Both teams dealing with their respective pressure. Middletown on the defensive side, Rodgers on the offensive side, looking at fourth down, 15 at the 25 of Middletown. Tied at 7 apiece.
Now Rodgers has been running the ball very, very well, but 15 yards is a pretty heavy. Let's see what they do.
Well, they are challenging the Vikings to put the ball in the air. They've got all but one player up near the line of scrimmage. Aponte rolling out to pass, looking for some help. Throws it, and it is picked off by Middletown at the 10-yard line. And it looks like Patrick Cranston is the man, and it is.
Okay, Middletown is well represented here tonight.
Well, it pretty much comes out the same. If the pass had been incomplete,
right,
it would have been around the 25-yard line. The interception and the return gives Middletown the ball. And where are they going to give it to him?
Right about the 21, it looks like.
Yes. So, Islanders get it with 3:02 remaining. They've got the kind of passing attack that can get some yardage.
But they haven't really been able to work it tonight at all.
No, they haven't.
Right now, passing-wise, Julian De La Cruz is 6 for 13 for 61 yards and an interception. So that's not filling up the stat sheet by any means.
And Middletown has all three of their timeouts. De La Cruz in the shotgun. Going to hand it off up the middle. Looks like Julian Gilman, who breaks a couple of tackles, gets to about the 27-yard line, and now he might be going through a cramping thing again as he can't quite stand up. Now he does. And that was Julian Gilman.
He's a tough young man, I'll tell you that.
27-yard line.
Second and four.
Second and four indeed. Man in motion. Trent Ames goes to the right. And the handoff goes off tackle.
It's Gilman breaking a tackle, staying on his feet, gets a first down across the 35-yard line.
Well, they're trying to soften up the Rodgers pass defense by running a little bit, but they are short on time. 2:20 left to go in the game. He picked up 10 yards that time, though.
Ball at the 37. Middletown going right to left, deep in their own territory.
The clock is an issue now.
Just over 2 minutes. Shotgun for Julian De La Cruz. Slot to the left. Snap. The look. Pump. The throw. Oh. Picked off by Rodgers. 30. 25. Toribio. 10. 5. Touchdown. Vikings. Alex Toribio.
Well, well, well. They had numerous opportunities to score on offense, but they turn it around and score on defense. Alex Toribio intercepts the ball at somewhere around the, oh, I don't know, maybe the 35-yard line, and just kept it right down the sideline. There were opportunities to tackle him, but they couldn't do it. He takes it in, 6 points, 13-7 Rodgers.
All right, extra point attempt coming up. Assuming they'll go for the extra point kick, which is Nixon Brownell's chore, and he is setting it up. So a dramatic turn of events with a minute 44 to go. Middletown still has all of their timeouts, but they're now down by a touchdown. And let's see if it's 6 or 7 points for the deficit. Nixon Brownell awaits. The hole, the kick is blocked. It remains 13-7, Rodgers. And will that come back to haunt the Vikings?
Well, they only have a minute and 44 to do something, but we'll see.
All three timeouts for Middletown.
And don't forget, Rodgers has not kicked deep once tonight.
Yeah, that's an interesting little decision to be made.
So with a minute 44 left to go in the game, a 35-yard or so interception return by Alex Toribio to get Rodgers finally on the board, doing what their offense couldn't quite do, and they take a 13-7 lead. Middletown's going to get one more chance, and I'm feeling better about no overtime.
All right. Rodgers has been putting good pressure on De La Cruz, which has helped him have a pretty off night for him.
Boy, he really has had a tough night.
So Nixon does the kicking off, Nixon Brownell. And who have we got back deep? Is that Gilman? Yep. Julian Gilman is going to be deep in the three-man deep formation. He's got teammates about 12 yards in front of him on each wing. What does Nixon want to do with a kickoff? His approach, the kick, hard grounder, scooped up and taken down at the 34-yard line by Middletown. No attempt at a run back by Mr. McGowan, Dawson McGowan. So here's the Islanders with their final chance of the night. They've got a little bit of an opening, down by 6 with a minute 42 remaining. Field position's not bad at the 34, but I will bet you that the Vikings are going to continue to apply the pressure.
Now, right now, the offensive line is not giving him enough protection. They're trying to get the kicking ball off the field.
All right. Back to work goes Julian De La Cruz. Slot formation to the right side. Where's R.J. Wiggins? Looking to pass. De La Cruz got time. Throws on the far sideline. And Pat Franson makes a great catch over the 50-yard line into Middletown, Rodgers territory inside the 45. What a pass, but an even better catch by Pat Cranson. First and 10 at the 42 of the Vikings.
24 yards on the pickup.
And he had all kinds of time to look over the field.
Well, that time they decided to play coverage And that might not work very well against De La Cruz. You might have to pressure him.
Franson's in the slot to the right side. R.J. Wiggins wide to the left. Shotgun.
Only a three-man front.
De La Cruz looking right. Being chased. He'll throw it on the run and throw it out of play and stop the clock. 1:25 to go. Second down and 10. What a finish to this rivalry.
Minute 25. There is time.
Ball resting at the 42 of the Vikings. Right to left goes this Islander attack.
And in that huddle, De La Cruz is saying, guys, give me time. Because right now, Rogers' defense is playing extremely well.
I'll tell you, R.J. Wiggins, even though he's probably double-teamed, is really fast.
He has not caught a ball tonight.
I don't think he's even been targeted.
No, I don't think so either. Maybe once, but maybe not.
Slot formation left. Wide left is Wiggins. And the snap, it's a handoff. Off tackle, left side. And breaking a few tackles and running very nicely is the Islanders. Jordan Cruz, the former Viking. And a Rogers player is down. Two of them are down. One's going to get up. This is going to be a cramping issue. But how about Julian Cruz?
Was that Cruz or was that Gilman? I think that might have been Gilman.
Might have been Gilman, the six. I thought it was a five, but you're probably right. So we're helping the Viking up, and it looks like Travis Burrows again. By the way, that run was to the...
Looks like about the 29.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, it's hard to say. I can't see it, but it looks like the 29.
I agree. Minute 14 remaining in the game.
And again, right now, if Middletown doesn't, you know, tie this game, it isn't going to be because, and it's not, by the way, Burrows.
It's Toribio.
Yep.
And he gets up on his own and walks over to the huddle. Let's see if he gets to stay in. Or if he'll have to sit out a play.
I think he'll have to sit out a play, yeah, because they had to stop the clock and all that. So, again, I think if Middletown doesn't tie this game, it isn't going to be because they don't have enough time. With 1:14 and their passing attack, there's time. The question is, can they get it done?
Three timeouts. They haven't used one yet. At the Rogers 29. Wiggins again, wide to the left side. Trips to the right side. Single setback is Gilman in the shotgun. De La Cruz. The snap.
Pressure.
Looking, rowing around. Throws, finds an open receiver. Pat Cranston can't quite hang on to it.
He overthrew him.
Tough pass for De La Cruz. He was running for his life.
If he had just set himself, he might have been able to do it. But again, it's hard to do that when you're being chased.
So again, the ball on the 29 of the Vikings.
Second down and 10. Again, a minute five, so it's the clock is not the issue. It's execution of the plays, and see if Middletown can do that or if Rogers can outdo them defensively.
Belcher wide to the right in the slot. Cranson's over there as well in the trips formation. The snap and a pass. Short one over here to Gilman. Gilman breaks the tackle on the run. Gilman, 5-yard line. Stopped shy of the goal line. Julian Gilman with a great run after the catch and sets up the Islanders first and goal at the 3.
26 yards on the pickup.
54 seconds to go. Middletown is still not calling a timeout.
Well, they're putting all their eggs in this basket right here.
50 seconds remain.
They don't want to go back on defense, I can tell you that.
Gilman in the backfield. Jordan Cruz is going out wide to the right side. Wiggins wide to the left side.
And you got Cranston out there in the slot.
On the right. Shotgun. De La Cruz.
puts a man in motion, gives it to Gilman, running off the left side, driving, pushing, not getting in, but pretty close to the goal line.
They better use a timeout now.
17 seconds. Now, finally, a timeout called with 14 seconds remaining, and the ball will be placed. Put it down, I think, at the two.
Maybe it's still the three.
Yeah, closer to the three.
So now I take it all back. Now the clock is an issue. Clearly. 14 seconds left to go. The ball is out. No, they have moved it now. It's around the two. So we'll give them a yard on that carry.
Do you want to gamble and play fake and put it in the air?
Yes.
Okay, you want to run down and tell them that?
Well, I mean, I would.
Well, I got to
look for Pat Cranson or, you know, someone like that. And, you know,
you got two good runners in Trent Ames and Julian Gilman.
Well, it's going to be one of those things where if you run it and don't get it, you better be right there with a timeout.
So just inside the two are the Islanders. 14 seconds to go.
Well,
trailing by six.
Whatever play they have that can get them 2 yards is what they hope they called on the sidelines.
It'll be Gilman alongside the quarterback, De La Cruz, in the shotgun. Awaiting the snap with a man in motion to the left. It's Gilman up the gut and into the end zone. Touchdown, Middletown, with 8 seconds remaining.
Remember I said something about overtime?
My, oh, my. What a response by Middletown.
What a game. It's been weird, but it's been good.
So now,
Pat Cranson for the win, potentially.
The all-important extra point. Pat will set it up.
Seven plays, 66 yards.
De La Cruz is the holder. Pat Cranson is here to try to pull off a win with seconds remaining.
Let's see if they ice him with a timeout.
No indication.
Maybe they're swapping the ball for a kicking ball. They are different, I believe.
A moment, no matter who you're rooting for. Let's see if Mr. Cranson can break the tie with the extra point kick. Awaiting the snap. De La Cruz to hold. Ball is down. It's on the way. It is long enough and good enough. And Middletown leads 14-13 with 8 seconds remaining.
Well,
no doubt.
A lot of pressure on that one, but both touchdowns, his extra point kicks have been long and true.
He almost kicked that to the Hall of Fame, Tennis Hall of Fame.
Unbelievable. That was right there. And again, lots of pressure. The snap had to be good. The hold had to be good. You know how it goes on a kick like that. And in a high school game on the first, you know, Friday night in September, second, technically, you know, there's a lot of pressure. And he, you know, they all handled it very well. Again, give it to both teams tonight. Great play defensively by Rogers to get that lead 13-7. And then Middletown with the answer. Really, really outstanding play from both teams tonight, particularly in this fourth quarter.
So it'd probably be a hard, low kind of kick from Pat Cranson.
Yep.
And we'll see if Rogers wants to start lateraling the ball around.
Or do they want to just sort of take a knee and not start the clock?
We're about to find out. Pat Cranson, who made a big catch in that drive.
Well, do we have one more piece of drama left? Let's find out.
Pat lining it up. Let's see how he handles the kick. The approach. Ground ball. Nobody's touched it yet. It is bobbled, picked up,
And now the chase is on and stopped with five.
I think the ball came loose, and I think Middletown has it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
The clock is stopped with 4 seconds to go. Let's see what the ruling is here.
Middletown's pointing, saying, we got the ball, and the officials do not seem to agree.
Nope. It is Middletown. Rogers ball.
So they'll get the ball somewhere around the 28-yard line, and everybody's cramped up down there now.
Yeah, Middletown's Andrew Souza struggling right now.
What a game he's had. You know, we're going to be naming player of the game, and he may not get it, or he may, but he has had a terrific night. 28-yard line.
27.
There's just one play left, really. Unless,
4 seconds left.
Unless he sees, you know, pressure coming and he spikes the ball, there's really just one play left. Middletown in a complete center field prevent defense. So now it's just a matter of getting the tackle done.
R.J. Wiggins is deep. Pat Cranson's going to be deep.
Again, this game has been crazy enough to believe, I'll believe anything.
Cisco's under center.
That's interesting.
Trips over here on the right side. He's rolling to the right. He's looking, spending time. He'll throw it up wide, and I think it's going to be out of bounds. Incomplete. And the game is over. And a late penalty flag is thrown for some kind of unsportsmanlike here on Middletown.
Well, if it's on Middletown, you can't end the game on a defensive penalty. So I don't know what's going to happen.
We may not quite be done as Middletown started boasting. Looks like the guilty party was Andrew Souza, who was talking to the officials.
It looked like that both players were trying to catch the ball, which was out of bounds, and it looked like the defender kind of climbed the back. Now, maybe it was a taunt, but it is a personal foul against Middletown. I get a feeling they're going to get another shot at it.
They are. So the indication, you get one play, Coach.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're not quite done.
Why would we be?
Unsportsmanlike conduct called against the Islanders.
That's the kind of thing you just can't let that happen. You just can't.
The ball will be at the 42 of the Vikings. Let's see if Middletown wants to go with a prevent defense or put pressure on. I'm guessing prevent.
Probably a little of both, but definitely they're going to have a lot of guys back. There is no time left on the clock officially.
Barring another penalty, this is the last play of the game.
Yeah, you can't end a penalty on a game on a defensive penalty. So Middletown had this victory in their back pockets, and they're giving a little bit of life to the Vikings.
Cisco Aponte is going to be working under center again.
And again, mistakes. There's just been too many of them. Really on both sides tonight, but Middletown has had more than their fair share.
Two Islanders are really deep. One's R.J. Wiggins. Then you've got Julian Gilman.
The thing about a play like this is that it almost always is kind of a lofted pass. So what Middletown has to be careful of is that they don't go for the interception and, you know what I mean, have the ball get behind them and all of a sudden, you know, Rogers is in the end zone. So here we go again. Same situation, 15 yards closer.
A late change for the Middletown defense as Andrew Souza comes back on the field and Isaac Mello goes to the sideline.
His game has seen a lot of strange things.
Trips to the right. Aponte rolling to the right.
Once again.
No pressure at all. Now he lofts it up high and long and it will be deflected and incomplete. And now, pardon my redundancy, the game is over.
Holy cow.
14-13. Middletown with a tremendous comeback win walks away with a victory. And a tough one for the Vikings who thought they had it.
I think both of these teams are going to come away from this game feeling good and bad at the same time. Lots of positives, lots of negatives can be taken out of this one. But boy, it was exciting right down to the final seconds.
All right, we're going to take a timeout, head for our post-game activity. So we'll have messages from Gustav White, Midtown Oyster Bar, A1 Roofing, and even Corrigan. Let's do those four, Gianfranco, and then we'll be back. Stay with us.
Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, selling Newport County homes since 1925. This full-service agency, locally owned by Paul Lees and Chris West, is an invaluable resource for residential sales, rentals, appraisals, and auctions, offering a wealth of local knowledge and worldwide exposure for your property. Don't just put a sign in front of your house, put your house in front of the world. Through Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, 37 Bellevue Avenue, Newport. Phone 849-3000 or visit gustavwhite.com.
Midtown Oyster Bar, your number one choice for the freshest seafood and the largest raw bar in town. Perfect for casual snacks and cocktails or a formal dining experience. Steps away, the Surf Club offers cozy comfort anchored by their brick oven pizza and handcrafted cocktails. Midtown Oyster Bar, 345 Thames, the Surf Club, 337 Thames. Two exceptional Newport waterfront experiences. Check out MidtownOyster.com.
If you live or run a business in Rhode Island, odds are your electric bill is increasing. Luckily, A1 Roofing's here to help. Call 265-1019 today for a free solar consultation to learn how A1 can lower or eliminate your electric bill. Don't have a generator and want to keep power in a storm? Ask A1 about battery storage. Interested in getting an electric vehicle down the road? Ask A1 about installing a charging station at your home or business. A1 Roofing is here to help you go green in partnership with the Master Electricians at Beacon Solar.
Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan. For 32 years, Corrigan Financial's been serving our community, helping families and businesses, much like a financial architect, establishing and designing a comprehensive framework that offers direction and support. This wealth of knowledge is personified through their professional staff and strengthened through continued investments in technology to power their processes and systems. With more than $1 billion of investment assets and 11 CPAs on staff, Corrigan Financial maximizes their clients' financial well-being by combining tax planning with investment strategy. So whether starting your career or just starting to look forward to your retirement, Corrigan Financial can help. Arrange a free consultation to discuss a financial planning process that leads to greater decision-making where clients can anticipate rather than react. Corrigan Financial. 32 years of helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've got it. All right. We are back. And we've had ourselves a bit of a game, to say the least. And I'll hand it right over to Mr. Ascoli to have the rundown for you.
I'll tell you, it was a strange game all night long. But Rogers scored first as they... With 4:16 left to go in the first quarter, they put together a five-play, 78-yard drive. And with Cisco Aponte running it in from the one-yard line, Alex Toribio had a 56-yard run during that drive. The kick made it 7-0. In the second quarter, Middletown got on the board with 2:10 left to go in the half. Five plays, 69 yards. Julian Gilman ran it in from the nine-yard line. The kick was good, and it was 7-7. That took us into halftime. Into the fourth quarter we go, and late in the fourth quarter, a minute and 44 seconds left to go, Middletown stops Rogers after an enormously long drive. It was a 19-play, 74-yard drive, but that ended on Middletown stopping Rogers on downs. And then Middletown got the ball back. Dela Cruz went back to pass, and Alex Toribio intercepted. Ran it down the sideline, 35 yards for an interception return touchdown, but the kick was blocked. Remember that one, boys and girls. 13-7, Rogers. Minute 44 left to go. Middletown gets the ball back at their own 34-yard line. Seven plays, 66 yards, and with 8 seconds on the clock, Julian Gilman took it in from the two-yard line to tie it at 13. Pat Cranson set up for the extra point and boomed it. 14-13, Middletown. Rogers got the ball back with 8 seconds left to go. They had a couple of opportunities, and with the clock hitting zero, Middletown committed a personal foul penalty, giving Rodgers another chance, but they never could quite get it down the field. Middletown wins it 14-13, and yes, it was just exciting as that score sounds. For individuals, Trent Ames for Middletown, 7 carries, 55 yards, almost 8 yards a carry. Julian Gilman, what a game he had, 10 carries, 78 yards, and both touchdowns. Cam Miller had a carry for 5. Pat Cranston had a carry he did not want. He picked up 9 yards. It was 4th and 10. He's the punter. He kind of bobbled the punt, the snap rather, and decided to try to run it and nearly got the first down. He was about a half yard short. Julian Dela Cruz was 8 for 17 passing for 111 yards. He was picked off once. The catches, Cam Miller had 3 for 41 yards. Pat Cranston had 4 for 44 yards. And Julian Gilman had a catch for 26. For Rodgers, for Middletown, summation here. 20 carries, 138 yards on the ground, nearly 7 yards a carry. 8 for 17 passing for 111. They had 249 total yards. Rodgers, Travis Burrows, 19 carries, 91 yards, 4.8 yards a carry. Alex Toribio, 17 carries, 148 yards, 8.7 yards a carry. Don't forget, he also had a touchdown on defense. J.C. Michelle, 2 carries, 23 yards. Cisco Aponte was 3 for 9 for 12 yards. He was picked off once. And all 3 catches were by Toribio. 3 catches for 12 yards. Rodgers, 45 carries, 262 yards on the ground. 148 of them by Toribio. 3 for 9 passing for 12. They had 274 yards. Middletown had 249. But when all was said and done, a Pat Cranston extra point kick with 8 seconds left to go wins it for Middletown. 14-13. Wow.
Yeah, that's a good way. Wow is a good description. Way to go, Ascoli. All right, quite the night at Topa Field and a big-time win for Middletown. It's a non-league game, but still, that's a step in the right direction for the Islanders and a good game, but not great, and, of course, a tough finish for the Vikings. We'll take our last timeout and be right back with you. We'll name our players of the game. I don't think either coach is coming up this way, but we'll see what happens after we hear from Brick Alley.
The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, a local favorite since 1980 and a longtime supporter of Aquidneck Island youth sports programs. The Brick Alley is the 2022 winner as Newport's Best Restaurant, as well as being a past winner of Rhode Island Restaurant of the Year. There is something for everyone at The Brick. Anytime's a great time to do The Brick's famous nacho platters, their award-winning burgers, steaks, and seafood dishes, and so much more. Just as in the world of sports, teamwork is everything at The Brick Alley, so come on in and see what the incredible team at The Brick can do for you. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant is open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner. For more information, go to brickalley.com or stop in. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, 140 Thames, downtown Newport, a classic dining experience since 1980.
Welcome back. And time for Jim and I to name our players of the game. We were pretty much in agreement on both fronts. So I was hoping to get Matt Kessler's attention, but he's just shaking hands with anybody and everybody he runs into. So our choice for the player of the game for Middletown is the hard-nosed Mr. Julian Gilman. He had some great numbers on offense, but he made a lot of tackles.
He sure did. And he had both the touchdowns, so he was good all night long.
And on the Rodgers side, hard to ignore the effort put forth by Alex Toribio.
What a game he had. 148 yards rushing plus an interception return for a touchdown. he did it all tonight. And unfortunately for him, it came up a little bit short, but just an outstanding effort for Alex.
And both those gentlemen received gift certificates from the Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant in downtown Newport. So that is about going to wrap it up for us here. Just a reminder that our next broadcast is 1 week from tomorrow. We'll be right back here at Topa Field to bring you Salve Regina football. And it will be Salve hosting Rochester in a noontime game next Saturday. And we'll be with you a little before 12 o'clock to start bringing it to you. So hope you can join us or stop by and watch a very exciting Salve Regina football team. I want to say a special thank you to our brand new board operator working hard back there. And that would be Gianfranco, but we can do better than that. We can tell you that his name is Gianfranco Semeraro Balanca. And he's doing a good job for us in his rookie season. All right, I think that's going to take care of us. Hope you enjoyed yourself, Mr. Ascoli.
Phew, I tell you, that'll drain anybody, that game. That was a good one.
And with that, a final of 14-13. Middletown, a late comeback to get it done and get the win. And on behalf of us all at WADK AM and FM, we hope you enjoy the broadcast, and we'll keep you company all season long with all three of the high schools and Salve Regina. And for that, we say thank you for listening on this Friday night for WADK's AM 1540, the FM 101.1, and WADK.com.
Lifting after 9 a.m., south winds 9 to 12, seas 1 to 2 feet, Sunday chance of showers. Low tide Newport Harbor 8:20 a.m., tide will be in at 3:50 this afternoon, sunset at 7:08, sunrise tomorrow morning at 6:18, and the moon is waning crescent. Boating in the Bay from WADK.
The 52nd Annual Newport International Boat Show, presented by Bank Newport, runs Thursday, September 14th through Sunday, September 17th. Hundreds of